You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and is there anyone? Well, happy lunchtime, you know, happy elevenses, depending on where you are in this rotating sphere. I emphasize sphere. I don't think it's a disc. I think it follows natural laws like globules, you know. Anyway, whatever. Good afternoon and welcome to Journeys with JP. So tonight, I really enjoyed last week because it was really fun. There were some nice people who called in and we had a really nice time. So I'm going to invite everybody in as well. So you've got the Studio B number. You can always get the Studio B number by typing the name, writing the word number into the chat room. Studio B is 310-421-4053. And if you're in Britain, you can also call. Yeah, you're a late bird, aren't you? If you're in Britain, you can also call me on 0141-356-4141. And if you, you can get me on Skype or this or that. Freedom Screen 2. That's the thing. That's what it's called. Freedom Screen 2 on Skype. That will bring you into the Studio B on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, which is listener supported. And in order to support listeners, you can send in money, and Hawk will send you all sorts of really nice stuff. It'll be, you know, whatever you want. You know, we can give you actually, it's all the stuff that you need for the future. You know, it's silver bars, you know, currency. Silver is really rare. It's much more rare than gold. And gold, it seems, is exceedingly abundant, and it just needs to be mined. But silver is, and also gold can be pretty well recycled from the computers, whereas silver is very difficult to get them back out again. And indeed, I have a caller straight away. 575. Hello. Who's that? And where are you?
Prometheus.
Is
the
this
beautiful old gold tree?
This is Rob, isn't it?
Yes, it's your friend here. We're here to help Dinung.
Yeah, how's your nungness? I've come up with a new one as well.
Up a little bit recently, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I got a new one. Nungmaste. The nung in me salutes the nung in you. Remember where you heard it first,
Royce. You heard it here first on Journeys, ladies and gentlemen.
The nungmaste. It's the new greeting. It's where we realize that we are just completely lower consciousnesses wandering around, having hijacked the human conscious that is walking with the legs. How can I help you?
I absolutely love it. It is excellent. Nungmaste.
So, how are you doing? What's news?
Well, gardening is something that is kind of come to the forefront with the warmer weather and things. So, some seed packs from the Revolution Radio I'm breaking out and getting some seeds going.
Yes, indeed.
That's been kind of on the agenda, and it's a nice experience. And, you know, it's always a learning experience, you know. Sometimes, you know, the temperatures vary, you know, with your soil, and what's it going to be tonight? You know, we had like a little cold blast, which doesn't happen, and some of them are a little more sensitive. So I'm kind of in that kind of mode, you know, but I'm keeping my ears open and stuff. But
yeah.
It's really good to hear from you, JP. I also enjoyed last week talking with you and Monty and friends. That was very enjoyable. It's always good to come to Journeys. I really enjoy myself.
Well, I hope people are enjoying it because it's, you know, it's not the same as all the other shows. It's like, yeah, it's, that fat, hairy hippie, you know, but, and he talks about weird stuff like the Nazis and time travel and, it's all part of the delicate tapestry that underlies our real world, doesn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's a higher consciousness when I'm here at Journeys. It's definitely, the upper chakras are being exercised in this aura, in this energy. That's what I feel, but...
I should hope so. I hope the only orgasms are between the ears. Headgasms. that's all I can say, you know. I've heard about you. I've heard about people like you. Not you, Rob, but I know there are listeners. Stop it. Anyway.
I've got some 426, and I really enjoyed your tones that you've been working. I know this is not 432, but this is 426.5.
All right. And can you bring it much closer to the mic?
I can try.
Try. I'll mute now.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bit of an art to it. All right, you ping it, and then as it dies away, you bring the thing closer to the mic. But anyway, that's a knee. And 426, it's quite nice. I was actually sitting the other day in my garden, and my guitar was slung down to a 432, and I had a terrible stomachache, and so I tuned my guitar to that pain to try and ameliorate it, and it just seemed, you know, it could have been down as low as that. So what's the healing purpose of that particular frequency there, Rob? Actually, Rob's just he's gone pinged off. He's pinged off. Oh well. While we're at it, while we're doing pings, I just want to be a bit lighthearted. There's another JP. His name is JP Sears, right? And he makes videos about being ultra spiritual. So I really hope everybody's going to enjoy this. Oh, there's another call. All right. Hey. Is that Rob? Hello, unknown phone number. Speak to
me. That's me.
Oh, it is you. All right. He was holding back. I was going to play the JP Sears, the latest JP Sears video clip. I thought that was quite funny. Do you know this guy?
That would be excellent. What do you have in tone, Handel? What's close to you that we can enjoy some of your higher consciousness frequencies?
I've only got the three pingers. I don't know where the 4-3. I think it's in the kitchen somewhere, but I've got the... It can be quite sharp. I'm doing it very gently. And then in the background, you can hear my whistling kettle on the stove, which is going...
JP, that third tone could sustain. I felt it in my arms. And it almost made my hairs rise up.
The high one or the low one? This one.
Yes.
There you go. A bing for your bong. So, actually, yeah, this is a 440. Hey, let's play these together, because you play yours and I'll play mine. This is 440, and you play yours. I don't think Skype is going to let us do this, but you play yours. So you can hear the beat. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. That's the difference between the two notes. And, so it's like four, you know, whatever. How many beats a cycle is a second? We'll give you the difference in frequency between the two notes. Do you know that?
The difference in the variation there?
Yeah, that's it. You hear that wah 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 wah. When you've got two notes that are together, like have you got tingshaw? The bells, the little hand bells.
The little bells, yeah, I have those. I enjoy those.
Because they're just a tiny little frequency away from each other, and they produce, when they come together, they produce another frequency that is the difference in frequency to them. So, this is all very ultra-spiritual. So I think we should bring in our dear friend J.P. Sears to bust the whole ultra-spiritual business. So if you can mute your microphone for a second, you can stay on the call, but if you can mute your mic so we get the best sound. Okay?
We're all set. Just let me give you one more, and then I'll be mute the whole time.
Okay. Ping yourself, my son.
Here we go.
Ping away.
Are we at the camera now?
No, still Deanna.
The newer age movement.
To talk about today?
The new age movement. It's outdated now. I mean, we've crossed a line where new agers are now old agers. Conversations with God isn't a new release anymore.
Like this flower brings beauty to the world, we're here to bring the newer age to the world.
The new age is the new stone age. The newer age is the new age. And this is the cutting edge movement we're bringing to the world to help the cavemen in the stone age to wake up.
New agers got all spiritual to escape from the dogma that was around them at that time. Then they got all dogmatic about their spirituality.
And that's exactly what makes them pretty unspiritual. We live in a different time now. Here in the newer age, trying to be spiritual is the most unspiritual thing you can do. Our newer age movement is about realizing that not being spiritual at all is the most spiritual thing you can do in the time we live in.
The newer age is going to bring us past the afterbirth of the new age to bring us to new levels of awareness.
When the Mayans blew up the world in 2012, nobody told the New Agers that their movement was meant to be killed. So what we're trying to do is bring an end to their reign of spiritual terrorism.
So what's involved with your New Age movement?
Well, for example, the New Age movement was all about teaching people how to think positively.
Instead of teaching people how to think positively, we're teaching people how to think.
Another thing, there's a whole litter of New Age people who have so humbly anointed themselves with hybridized Sanskrit names like Sanatam Ram Kar, Whispering Light,
Baba Ganoush,
Krishna Yogananda,
Roti,
Mulabanda,
Guru Punjab,
Dances with Wolves,
Rainbow,
Harmony Dolphin,
Shakti,
Blossoming Lotus,
Ram Das,
Satnam Kartar. To these people, congratulations on the name you've cursed yourself with. Now you've dug yourself a hole and you're stuck with one of the most unspiritual names on the planet here in the newer age.
We teach that you can have a name like Drew, Karen, John, and still be spiritual.
not only can you still be spiritual with these names, but you're more spiritual with these names, because these names aren't spiritual at all. And that's exactly what makes them the most spiritual.
What else about the newer age movement should we be aware of?
Well, there's this old-fashioned idea of oneness to get away from separation. We teach noneness.
It basically helps you see that oneness is an illusionary separation itself, and it separates you from the illusion of separation. We say, embrace the separation instead of trying to separate yourself from the separation. You do that through noneness. Noneness is separate from everything.
The dogma of New Agers say you can do anything you want. If that's not subscribing to the system, I don't know what is. In our system, you cannot do anything you want. If you're busy doing all the time, how are you being?
That's right. Newer Agers know it's far more productive to not do what you want. Something we have big concern about from the New Age is the death and destruction to all the plant life. I mean, everybody in the New Age was making soy-based meat substitutes. Millions of plants were murdered and killed in the name of this movement. That ends with the Newer Age. What we're all about is creating meat-based soy substitutes to help save plant life.
What do you do with the ego in the Newer Age?
You let it fly. You run with it every chance that you get. The ego is the way to spirituality.
Yeah, I think the New Age deal about get rid of your ego, that's about the most egotistical thing you can do. We say, how about you become nothing other than an ego? Because I'm so unegotistical that I'm not egotistically trying to repress my ego.
Where can people find out more about your newer age teachings?
That's the brilliant thing. We don't teach these teachings.
Teaching is so new age. Everyone in the new age was a teacher of some sort, and no one's learning anything from it. We teach our teachings by not teaching them at all. In the newer age time that we live in, that's the most effective way to teach people.
So how will everyone find out about your newer age teachings?
So, there we go. Hang on a second. Let me just find out where that YouTube is. Oh, there it is. There we go. Oops, that starts it again. So, there you go, Rob. Did you get any of that?
Yeah, I did. I appreciated hearing that. That was a nice perspective.
I mean, this guy has really got it spot on. He's obviously been around a bit, and you know, but I live in Findhorn in a New Age community, or near a New Age community, and it's like I know these people. He characterizes people that are very familiar to me, and people who like do yoga in the cafe, you know, in the local cafe where there's these wifeys having scones and jam, and there's someone kind of with their leg kind of pulled up behind their left ear, and they're just kind of paying for their single glass of water and a plate of chips as the only vegan thing on the menu. Anyway, I can't talk because I don't eat meat anymore. I've stopped eating death. Hey, what do you think about this? A few years ago, my spirit guides, for what they're worth, they can be heard live. Well, not really heard live. They can be. You can read some of the writings of my. You know, because they were saying conversations with God, right? Well, basically, I do the same thing, and I've been doing the same thing for the last 20 years or so, but more or less in the last 10 years. And I've got a database of them now, and I've been sort of trawling through them and pulling out some of the stuff. Is kind of personal, it's just stuff to me, you know, talking to me. But there are some interesting little nuggets that come through, and so I publish them, and I have a website that I've made of them now, and it's called crownbasetransmissions.com. So it's like I got the sense of my crown center and my base center and the transmission from one to the other. So it's like the highest part of me talking to the lowest part of me, which is, in a way, it's like, it's not really conversations with God, but a conversation with the God within, with the highest part of myself. And it usually happens, you know, most of the time. See, what's interesting about these little writings is that it'll be a time when I'm really kind of desperate. You know, I'm really being a Piscean, right? I feel a lot. I get a lot of emotional kind of overwhelms and things like that. And particularly in the last few years, you know, things haven't been so great since when I started doing the radio. That's when things started looking up, because I felt, you know, there was some interesting feedback coming back that was very nourishing. I thought, this seems to work. There's some traction here, I felt. Whereas all the time before, I'd been sort of treading water doing what I'm doing. Anyway, meanwhile, so I...
It's nice to hear about the spiritual ladder and how it etherically moves within us, and how we can learn from our base chakra lessons and focus them into the crown and make that, you know, better for our future. I mean, it makes sense, and it's nice to have someone that can share that.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I started a long time ago, and I've been doing it. The thing is, not to be fanatical about it, but you can be if you're like that. You know, if you're like that, do it for 5 minutes a day. Take a piece of paper, or open a Word document, or if you're clever, make a database, or a spreadsheet, or something. You know, a place where you can file these things and put a date on them as well. That's very handy. And I got into these conversations with my own self, which is like I was looking for advice. I was looking for, you know, I needed help. You know, what the hell's going on with that? And it seemed to have. I was like, even if I was just making it up, right? The part of me that was making it up was not the part of me that was suffering, right? And still, that was good, because I was making up something good. It worked, you know, it had its effect. And what was interesting is that at the same time as these kind of reassuring little things that they might have been saying to me, that there were other messages that were coming through as like complete nuggets of teaching that was kind of being slipped in there. And they knew that I would do this, because, you know, they are out of time and space, because eventually I found out, well, because I said, who the hell are you? And they said, we're you. And that was confusing. Eventually I got to understand that it's like everything that is not in this incarnation is available telepathically through this channel. And I don't hear it in my skull. It's, you know, I know it's not one of these CIA jobs, because I don't hear it in my skull. I experience it as a feeling that it's the same as writing a poem. And I write poems. It's like you express a feeling that comes out as a wisdom. As a, you know, the feeling is an understanding and a knowing, and it kind of, it's like a zip file. It unpacks itself. So I will like ask a single sentence question, and it will unzip a paragraph of what it had to say. And since December, I've been browsing through it, and when I found a nice little nugget, I got a facility that I put on the database so I could clip it out easily, and then I make a post on my website. So www.crownbasetransmissions.com, and it's a service that I'm giving to the world. I might, you know, publish all the things in a book. That might be a thing. They, you know, been talking about, you know, they talk about stuff like underground Nazis and interstellar battles.
De Glock.
You know, it's funny, because how did I come across De Glock? It started out in the Sands of Time, and what Sean was talking about, because I've always been interested in this thing, the time-space rift that happened as a result of the Philadelphia experiment. And I was reading in this, in the descriptions of that, that there was a connection with something else that had been done by the Germans just shortly before, and they called it the bell. And that's all I'd heard about it. And then, I don't know how I was researching it, whatever happened, but I found myself a page of a book which is called Die Glocke, and I, as I said, I read the book out, and you can download the audio of it. I read it for you, complete with terrible accents. You know, I've only got two accents, and they, you know, they vary between different German, you know, different. Anyway, meanwhile, oh look, there's another call. Hey, wake up, mouse. Hello.
Hello, this is Harley.
Harley Souza, how are you, friend?
Taking it a day at a time, how are you?
Excellent, taking it about 1 minute at a time. But it works. Yeah. It works for me. One moment at
Absolutely.
A time. Because that's how we're going to get there, in moments. We just got to stop, you know, we've got to let go of this time thing, haven't we? Right, Harley, I'm going to grab my piece of shungite, because I know you're quantum entangled. Go ahead, my friend.
I pretty much called in to do the journey. It's been kind of like a bumpy road, per se. I mean, it's been a blessing and a bumpy road at the same time. I mean, you know, surrendering to Gaia, you know, kind of like... It's kind of like the Ghostbusters movie, you know, where all the ghosts have been released from the box, and it's, you know, I've been just bobbing and weaving and trying to dodge all of them, and, yeah, it's, you know, it's been, you know, just like they say, you know, coal under pressure, you know, turns into diamonds, and in our case, it would be shungite. So, you know, that's pretty much what's been going on, so I've been wanting to follow up with my buddy since it's been a long time since we last spoke and all that.
Use the Force, Harley.
I'm sorry?
Use the Force, Harley.
Wow, that I heard an echo.
Yeah.
It sounded like, wow, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a mixing disc. I have an echo in it. As well, this is a reverb.
Mm-hmm. And it sounded like very godly. Like, but, yeah. So, no, I'm definitely using the Force. I mean, I've been hit with so many things that a normal human would have, like, normally just given up and be like, you know what, this is too much for me. But since I've endured it for this long, it's been since the day I've been born. That's why I think, you know, I mean, there is definitely no quit in me whatsoever. I even thought of me quitting, you know, no matter how bad, you know, it gets. You know, because like I said, you know, success doesn't come easy, because if that were the case, everybody would, you know, would drop what they're doing and pretty much follow us in mission. But, you know, it's the, you know, warriors, you know, are supposed to be tough and endurance.
So, Harley, let's just clue everybody in, because it looks like everybody's in halfway into a conversation and it doesn't make sense to anybody. I did a voiceover for you a few weeks ago. How did that go? You were going to play that loud in front of an audience? Did that happen, or did it...
It never happened, because the guy was an entity.
Ah.
He pretty much snubbed me from stage. He said, you know, get the hell out of stage. This is my show.
Yeah.
So, like I said, when we have our own show and platform or whatever, you know, where, you know, me and Stephanie are running everything, then, you know, it will definitely be played.
There you go.
Definitely used.
Let that be the thing. Let that rejection be the impetus for you to create the thing that you wanted to be part of.
Absolutely.
Because this is the way, you know, it's like, bring whatever you're expecting to find.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it wasn't a big enough platform for us to even use it, you know, so, yeah. I mean, that's the way I looked at it, where, you know what, JP, you know, took his time, did this, like, very good. You know, obviously this kind of event, you know, they weren't going to appreciate this kind of work. So I'd rather do it in an even bigger platform, you know, where your work will be recognized versus, you know, where I planned on, you know, pretty much presenting the art, you know, like what you did for me. So, you know, like I say, I'm taking that rejection as just as you said it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Good, good, because that's the keeping the moving forward bit. Yeah. So, so do you want to tell people about all the pieces of shungite that you've been moving around and wearing, and where have you been putting it, and where have you been using it, and how can you tell if it's made you made a difference? How do you know it's made a difference?
I know it's made a difference because, I mean, all my life, I told you, I've been a victim of, you know, everybody wanted to control me because I've always been very easily manipulated. And every time I was breaking away from the Matrix, somehow I always found myself getting stuck again, you know, kind of like running back because I was a coward. You know, I was afraid, like, you know. But now, I mean, now I don't care no more. I mean, even with family, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel like the words, the poison, you know, words are spells, you know, like, you know, words are spells. And I feel like every word that's being thrown at me is being repelled. Mind you, I'm a sensitive dude. You know, I'm a very sensitive dude. It may not look like it, but, you know, behind this whole code Seuss persona, I'm a pretty sensitive dude. And I feel like what the young guy has been doing, like, literally, I could see the words just being repelled from me. I noticed when I sit down, I could see energy. You know, I mean, this is not, like, a mind thing. It's actually physical. It's science. I'm actually seeing energy. I've noticed, you know, the wrong people, you know, who are not meant to be in my life. They're cut off. Boom. They're disappearing. You know, it's magical. And the thing about magic is there's no explanation to it. It's just magic. You know,
that,
right.
This is one of the things that happens when you start using shungite, is that people move in and out of your life.
Yeah,
it is a very strange thing because, as my dear lady wolf baby says, what does she say? Oh God, it's not. No, who was it? Says it's not. I think Nancy says it's not for sissies, or Stephanie, and. Nikki says it aligns you with the truth. It faces mm-hmm. you with truth, and
yeah.
you can't argue with it. It just stands there in its own space, not kind of boasting about it, but there you are, mate. And it gives you no option but to align with it. And mm-hmm. that's a very interesting thing.
And it doesn't
thing.
Say one word. It doesn't say one word.
And you know what it is? It's the monolith from 2001. It's that blackness. It absorbs everything. You could shout at it. You could hate it. It would take anything. It can out-black anything.
That's what I feel like the shungite has done, is build me with its blackness, where, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I got attacked. You know, by my aunt, you know, she snatched the headphones. I mean, she's never done that. I mean, she was so riled up. And I've noticed the people around me that I guess are polluted with energy. I mean, they just get irritated by me. You know, they feel like attacking me. And I'm like, you know, yeah, you're just like Nancy said, you know, your ignorance is aggressive. You know, that's what I tell them. And they rile them up. It riles them up. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, I've become shungite, you know what I'm saying? Like, pretty much, in like, not to its entirety, but, you know, as far as repelling the words, you know, it's given me a consciousness, you know, to appreciate it more. And before, I've always played victim and said, you know, world, why do you hate me? And I just realized that it's not the world that hates me, it's the inhabitants. You know, some of the habits. I'm not saying everybody, because that would be unfair. But, you know, it's just some of the inhabitants just don't appreciate, and they're confused. They're confused about energy, and just like Walt has said many times, it's like a turtle. If you're a negative Nancy, it's gonna hide back in its shell, and you're not gonna feel the magic that I feel. Because people would, oh, you know, it's just a stone, you know. I tell them, you're not gonna fly when you put this on, but if you align yourself with Earth, if you take care of yourself, you're gonna feel the blessings and a lot. And the select few people that I've given have felt the energy, so I know this is real. This is not just me. You know, and anybody that comes to me and says, you know, these rocks are making you go crazy, I'm like, no, these rocks are not making me go crazy. These rocks are not telling me to do this. It's you guys. You guys are the one who are driving me over the brink. You know, but now I'm learning how to, you know, just just numb it, just, you know, just mute them out, mute the noise out. You know, I'm slowly learning. It's a learning process. But I'm slowly learning to become just like Shungai and just not say anything. You know what? You know, if you're not with it, if you're not on the sacred mission, then, you know, I'm putting you on mute. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, why argue? You know, why lower your frequency and vibration?
So it's been quite a joke. I want to ask Walt. I know Walt, you're listening. You're hiding behind there. I know you're there. Do you want to? I want you on. I haven't spoken to you for ages, mate. And I just let's catch up on air, because you're learning some awesome things, and I don't want you to leave everybody behind in your learnings. You know, you need to have a kind of memory dump with some enlightened witnesses, you know what I'm saying, my friend? So please go in. You know who you are, Walt.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's sad.
Nice to hear the spiritual benefits of Shungite.
Yeah, very much.
Affecting people, and people are becoming stronger and becoming more in tune. It's great, JP.
It's it. Have you got any, Rob?
Oh yeah, I'm wearing it right now, and I have it in necklace form. It's beaded, so I make Shungite necklaces now, small ones for people.
Well, there you go. Excellent, 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 excellent. So yeah, we're all working with the stuff. If anybody wants one, it's probably going to cost you about like a lot. Probably about $100 to import one across to the States, but I can get an actual Shungite monolith made like the 2001 monolith, and it can be it's the right proportions, which is a special proportion which I'd love to discuss with Walt, please.
Yeah. It sounds like it's got that condensed sacred geometry.
Right. I'm sure Walter Rock is shining. Anyway, he's just jesting. Come on. I'm just going to pull him in. All right. That's it. You asked for it. I'll call your phone number if you're not careful. So, it draws off any impurities. It's like a kind of detox. Somebody's gone. It has a kind of detox effect, and it has a kind of it works on lots of different levels, and big pieces seem to affect lower frequencies, and smaller pieces obviously affect higher frequencies. And if you want to affect nano frequencies, you need to use powder. Which is something that Walt and I have been experimenting with, and we've had some very interesting results using a smaller amount, getting more homeopathic.
Yep.
Has anyone been working with powder? Hey, man, do some powder.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about your adventures in powder, sir.
The adventures on the powder... It's been, as you know, we have the Shungite Band-Aid, and pretty much I've been that's been the thing that we've been spreading to the masses. You know, because, as the study has shown, you know, the Shungite in powdered form is like one of the most powerful, pretty much devices we've all come up with the invention, you know, to slap on, you know, on the phone, slap on the Wi-Fi, to clean the energy in the house, to protect you from the cancers. And I mean, it's proven effective, you know. So I mean, that's been my journey with it. And I've actually, believe it or not, actually got to see the spirit of the Shungite one time when I was hanging with Stephanie that night, and we were just pretty much releasing all the stuff that was, you know, binding us to these negative entities and stuff. And literally when I dropped the hammer, I saw the Black Panther, like in pounce mode, like ready to attack, and I almost flipped my top. You know, I mean, I was like, holy, and I fell down on the floor. I'm like, did you just see that? And I mean, of course, Stephanie wasn't surprised, because I mean, she, you know, she sees it all the time, And I was like, so this is what you guys were talking about. Because like I said, I've always had a vivid imagination, but never was I able to project the Black Panther in pouncing mode. So, I mean, just to give you a little insight of what I saw, because it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, now this is getting a little crazy, but at the same time, I embrace it because that shows that I'm special, that I was chosen for a reason to be in this mission because I'm tough as nails. You know, I'm as tough as they come. I mean, the whole world's going to know my story pretty soon, you know, of what I've endured these years and how I found a solution for me. And it's two things, Shungite and fitness. You know, I realize that these two things is what keeps me above and ahead of everybody else, is what makes me different and not, you know, a part of the thing. You know, and your study as well, as far as with the yeast. You know, I did the study. You know what I'm saying? One day I ate 6 slices of pizza and I went into coma mode. You know, like, you know, it really is what you said, like in the yeast and all that stuff, where it just, it puts you in zombie mode. So, I mean, everything is fine.
Nungamaste. I've got a new word, Nungamaste, which is the Nung in me salutes the Nung in you.
Yes, Namaste, right?
No, Nungamaste. The Nung. Maybe you weren't listening on the show for that moment. It's the name that I given to the creature that is formed by, you know, years of eating pizza and yeast and bread. The yeast buildup that builds up inside your body has its own consciousness, which I call the Nung as a thing. So,
okay. I like that word.
Yeah, because, you know,
but,
think about a pizza, think about a loaf of bread just out of the oven, and what you want to do with that bread is go Nung, 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 Nung. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, Namaste. Oh, yeah, I love
it. Nungamaste, so there you go. So, Nungamaste.
That's awesome. And like I said, it's crazy. I mean, I've always been like, you know, the person who's always had to find out the hard way. And, you know, my journey with Shungite, I mean, it's enough to write a book. And this is just off 3 months. I mean, this started in December. And I mean, for Christ's sake, you know, I got abandoned in the airport for 9 hours. I was hungry, and I'm pretty dangerous when I'm hungry. You know, I get cranky, I get moody, I get ignorant. And, I mean, a SWAT cop with a dog was sniffing my bags. And if I was ignorant, I could have been like, hey, why are you sniffing my bag and stuff? And I could have gotten arrested. That was test number one. Then money, all sorts of money was taken from me in the last, like, 3 months from people who swindled me because I was too naive and too nice and trusted too much. And lost my job. I mean, I'm talking about I got hit with every curveball you can think of. I mean, family turning against me, my grandma almost dying, who, you know, everybody knows I'm very close to. I mean, I've just been hit with every curveball. And I know that the entities around, who, you know, if any entities is listening, and, you know, spirit-wise, you know, you guys are not going to bring me down. You know, because it's not working. They've been hitting me with everything, you know, everything, and it's just not working. Because the thing is, because I have Shungite to protect me, you know, and that's all I need, really. I mean, it's really all I need. And like I said, it is a freaking force field. Hello, you know, you know, the 1800 studies. I mean, if you have 1800 studies, it proves that it protects your energy. You know, because before, like I said, and people, women especially, they love to suck my energy because they like that light that I project. It's not working no more. Because, you know, I'm not really buying it. I'm not really falling for it. And sometimes they disappear before they even get a chance to suck that energy. Just like you said earlier, you know, it reveals the truth. So they're poofed to gone, you know, when, you know, if their intentions are to suck my energy before they even attempt to do it. So that's why, like I said, you know, I stand behind Shungite. It's Shungite till I die, or, you know, till I cross over, whatever. You know, that's just my mission now for me and for my future son or daughter or both, or, you know, that's what it is. I mean, I ain't going back.
The force,
you know, they
will
can't
be
bring
with
me
you
back.
Always.
How about unplugging your television?
I'm sorry?
How about trying to unplug the television? See how that goes for a month.
Unplug? I don't watch TV.
There you go. You're one step ahead of the rest.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's various levels of the journey. I mean, this is the journey, right? So let's have a look at this, you know. And, you know, people go from their 9-to-5 job, which is, you know, I wrote a song about this. I wrote a rap sort of thing, which was like, I get up in the morning. Hang on, I'll take a deep breath before I say it. I get up in the morning, then I go to work, and I use my head till it starts to hurt, and then I go home, eat, and watch TV. And I'm wasting time, if you're asking me. Is this all to life in a serious way? Invaded, connected, and drained away? What happened to the youth who used to be happy? Did you lose your smile along with your nappy? And that to me, I went to work one day. I got out of the underground railway and walked across the road, and I was just looking at down. It was Russell Square, just right near the Tavistock Institute. Maybe it was they were beaming at me or something. Anyway, I walked across the road and I thought to myself, "Sod this for a game of soldiers." You know, it's like I just realized the whole Matrix thing. I did have a near-death experience, which might have helped to change that. But that was several years ago, several years before. You know, I was still kind of locked into the Matrix. It took a lot to kind of break me out of that. Or it took a long time, let's say, for me to break out, having been cracked open at the bike crash. So it's... and that's where it started. And so here I am, and I'm hobbling around this week because I'm suffering. It feels like I'm suffering all of the injuries again after 29 years. They're maybe coming back out again. Hello? Hello, who said hello?
Hello?
Who said hello?
Signal. Hello? Earth to JP.
Have we lost me?
Okay.
Have you lost me? Yes.
No,
I have a break-in here.
You have a break-in.
Feel the vibe. Feel the vibe. Join the SBR tribe. Solaris Blue Raven.
Yes, I'm over here outside, posted on the tree.
Right. Okay, well.
And I feel free. I feel free.
I'd like to bring in Professor, Doctor, the master of his esoterics, the Merlin of his moment, Dr. Professor Walt Silver. Hey!
Yeah.
Hey, Walt, how are you doing, mate?
Hello there, how are you? Looks like you're having a party.
Yeah, we're having a great time, but I thought, because I started talking about the monolith, and then I thought, oh man, you've been messing with the monolith, man. Tell us about what's happened to the monolith. And, you see, because, like, I talked about it months ago. I said, oh, I really want a monolith, you know, 1x4x9. And somehow that thing kind of filtered across to you. You've made a monolith cannon. What's a monolith? Is it something that fires millions of monoliths at stars and makes them explode into a star or something, into a new sun?
Well, you wouldn't believe.
All right, so you got. I can see three monoliths that are kind of attached together in like a triangular prism. And
it's
there's
like a lens.
It's like a lens at the end. Oh, it's very Atlantean looking. All right, okay, so.
This is the output. This is where it's coming out.
Yeah.
And I put it up to the Skype camera, and Nancy was able to tell. And I was able to confirm, I was showing my mom in the workshop. Like, for example, outside, I know that Britain is all metric, but you can understand the Fahrenheit degrees. I had my digital probe set for Fahrenheit, and in the shop, it said 75 degrees. And I just took the probe and I dropped it in here, and it went from 75 every 2 seconds it would go up, and it went up to 80. And I kept doing it back and forth. So this inside was 5 degrees hotter. So then I went outside earlier, and it was windy, and it was 66 degrees. I put it in here outside, and it was 7 degrees hotter.
So
because it's actually blowing out a stream of argon from this side, the part that's open, because you get a chance to play with your monolith. What I found out through Nancy is that when you cast it, whichever is the face that's at the bottom of the mold, that'll be the negative.
Right.
And I used my my dowsing rods and my pendulum, and I was able to gauge that when you have the monolith,
mm-hmm.
the back part is the negative. It's where it's pulling in argon, and it's pulling in argon up to a distance of 50 feet.
Yeah.
And the front is projecting argon out to a maximum of 50 feet. My rods would open whenever I was 50 feet away from the base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have the short side, and then you have the long side.
Right.
At the long side, it's also projecting out up to 17 feet. And the short sides are pulling in energy up to 13 feet. So you have three faces projecting energy out and three faces pulling energy in. And then I asked the question with the pendulum, is it putting out more energy than what it draws in? And the answer is yes. It is acting like a door of sorts. So what I did is I mounted this way. This was an experiment. So the three faces are the three positive faces. So it's actually hotter in here than it is in the space around it. And I fell asleep with it, with the thing on my chest. And in the dream, something went up into my head and something like smoke came out of my ears. So I said to my mom, well, this must have cleared something out of my head.
Well, you know, our radio audience can't actually see what we're doing. You've got a website. Do you want to post a picture of it on your website, and then you can tell everybody where it is and how to get one or three? You've got a kind of, it's, so you're calling it a monolith kind of, but it's like an orgon waveguide sort of thing.
I want to do more experiments.
And what happens? What do you stick at the end? What can you stick at the end? Could you put a great big crystal in the end?
Just think about it. Whatever you put in here is actually being cleansed and purified and charged. I mean, think about it. If you have a medicine of something, you can just sit it in there for an hour or so. Now all of that stuff is now super saturated with energy.
Have you done any water? You put some water in it?
No, I just.
You only made it this afternoon, right? Okay, yeah.
So we just started playing with it.
Cool. You know, as far as invention is concerned, all I've done this afternoon, I got an old pineapple tin, cut a few holes in it, and put a candle underneath, and it keeps my cup of tea warm.
Oh, nice.
That's my inventiveness.
Awesome. You're a regular Robinson Crusoe, aren't you?
I gotta go to Scotland.
Well, it's quite cold here. You gotta be prepared.
You've been born in New Jersey. Yes, and I have. I'm hairy like a wolf. You know, I'll grow out my back hair and chest hair and arm hair and stuff for like 2 months before I go to Scotland, so I can be warm.
You have to get used to a raw woolen blanket wrapped around your belly.
True. Held
together by a belt and a kind of pin thing. And you got to play an inflated goat with that's Romania. You ever seen that? The Romanian pipe is a very noticeably ex-goat.
Wow.
You know, it's got legs, and you know, just check it out. Just anybody Google for images of the Bulgarian bagpipe. It's a goat. With things.
Is it true that if you wear a kilt, you can't wear any underwear?
That's very true, and it's very, as I said, it's very raw, itchy wool. Okay, it's not a thing that Jewish people like. Let's just put it that way.
That's how you tell the men.
That's
away
right.
From the boys.
That's right. That's right. So meanwhile, so Walt, you're going to have to tell us in a minute about the monolith itself and what you've discovered about it so far, and you know, and all that stuff. But don't go away. We're going to be back with more, and it's all very interesting, kind of organic, technical, kind of. If we've got more than six listeners left, I'll be surprised. Bye. Be back in a minute. Don't go away. Please, please, please.
What is it?
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
A challenge. Let's give him one.
The voice that whispers in your ears, or the screams that you hear. The mind you cannot defy is the heart that rules mankind. The people who made you are the gods that will save you. And I am Steve Travesty. I am the voice. The ghost in the machine. Ghost in the Machine, Tuesdays, 8 p.m., Studio A.
Right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Join the Sacred Matrix with hosts Janet Kira Lesson and Dr. Sasha Lesson, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio.
Here we free ourselves from the God spell, transform the perverted matrix to the divine one. We become conscious and we embrace universal unlimited love.
We feature colorful guests and topics such as extraterrestrials, ghosts, interdimensionals, and aliens. We examine evidence, anomalies, archaeological ruins, and anthropology.
We explore past lives, future lives, life between lives. We get into astral projection, near-death experiences, archetypes, visions, and dreams.
Episodes include time travel, teleportation, counseling, spirituality, tantra, relationships, peace, shamanism, peak experiences, and ego transcendence.
Join the lessons Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com for The Sacred Matrix, a divine paradigm of love.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to
kill us! See how the cover you've started?
These are the innocent ones. Every hour, a radio talk show host is abused. They suffer, terrified, and alone. Waiting for someone to help, we at Revolution Radio search far and wide to rescue these hosts and give them the home, food, and medical care that they deserve. Please say you will be the answer for an innocent host who is suffering right now that needs your help. Please go online and join freedomslips.com, and with your monthly gift and donation right now, you will rescue talk show hosts from their abusers. Join in the next 30 minutes and we'll send you a picture of one of our talk show hosts that has been rescued. This is your chance to say, I won't sit by while innocent DJs suffer. Remember to always report talk show host cruelty if you see it. But right now, your monthly gift is urgently needed. They're waiting for your help. Please, go online right now to freedomslips.com to give them what they desperately need most. Your love.
That's right. That's right.
Who can resist that?
Who can resist that? Thanks to Sean. he doesn't get to play it very often, so it's quite fun. So there we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, Freedom Slips Radio. Who else am I on? Tierna Sauer in Ireland. Scottish Sovereigns on the Land on Channel 3. Yeah. I got three stream channels. I got four people on a Skype call, and it's been rock solid all night. I've also got another stream coming in, which is my monitor stream. You know, I can bring that in. There we go. That sounds like that. And it's rock solid. And it's not like, you know, it's a normal night. It's a regular normal night. There's a big storm outside, and yet my internet is absolutely rock solid. So who knows? Look, somebody's come to join the party. Area code 352. Who may be you be?
352, it is Doc Who.
Doc Who from 352. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, Boogaloo in room 222.
Hang on. Let's just see if we can navigate the TARDIS into the studio. Hang on, let's just see if we can... Just bring it over. Just back it up a bit. Up a bit. Back it up. Back it up. There we go. There we go. There we go. Oh.
I came up with an ingenious way to cloak it in my backyard.
It's very useful. Because it's a... You know, it's got a chameleon circuit. Actually, I've half written a Doctor Who episode which the chameleon circuit, which is the thing that makes it... you see, I don't know if it, you may not know, but anyway, I don't care. Look, the Master has a TARDIS that changes shape. It's got a chameleon circuit. It's got a working chameleon circuit. And the one in Doctor Who's one, because it was stolen, and that's probably why he nicked it, because it was from a sort of junk pile, and he ended up in a junkyard, and it disguised itself as one thing, and it got locked into that shape, which is why it's always been a blue box. But it did have the ability to change shape and to blend in with its background.
With the shape-shifting that's going on.
Yep, there's a bit of shape-shifting going on. So...
Anyway, I've disguised my TARDIS as a two-holer outhouse, and nobody goes there. I just put an out-of-order sign on the door.
That's a good disguise. Do you have a little fan that blows, you know, aroma? It's to make it like real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So, oh, yes.
Shungite,
tell me. What?
Yeah, well, I went to the Blueberry Festival here in Brooksville, Florida this past weekend. And I know a guy there. I met a guy there at another Art in the Park festival, and Captain Larry. And he used to own two bars in Tampa on the Causeway, on the Bay. And we didn't know each other then, but we got acquainted and, you know, knew some people and so on and so forth. But anyway, so I went to this Blueberry Festival, and I was sitting there, and he does this copper art, you know, nautical stuff, sailboats pulling a dinghy out of copper, and all kinds of jewelry of copper and brass and silk. I don't know if it's silk or not, but it looks silver. But anyway, I kind of co-hosted his display there. You know how you have the tent, you know, with the stuff around the three walls at the festivals?
Uh-huh. Yep, you had a little stall, yeah?
Hello?
Yeah. You had a stall there, yes? And there I was, boasting about how good my signal was. Am I still online? Oh, God. Okay, somebody's come off here. We've lost Doc Who. We'll come back in a minute. Walt, you still there?
Oh, yeah.
And Rob's still there?
Yep.
Yes, it's an honor to be here with Mr. Walt Silva.
Yes. So, I'm sure we'll complete the. Oh, there he is. He will. Yeah, you fell off the world. So
it wasn't me that did.
Finally, going to confess. Wear my necklace. Really,
And the great Doc Who, of course.
Okay, hey, Doc. You better make your story concise if we're going to get regular drops.
Yeah, we had
anyway
that one.
I was talking to some of the potential clients and buyers, and actually, somebody bought the jar. It's about a 4 foot high by 4 foot long dragon made out of copper. Pretty neat. Paid $700 for it. But I'm talking to these people, and he doesn't mind. You know, and we kind of got acquainted at the last festival. I'm saying things like, well, don't say no magic over that dragon, or it'll come to life, you know, and laughing, and just different things like that. And more people were coming, to a lot of people there. And I started talking about, I say, you ever seen this stuff before, my Shungite necklace? No, what is that? And there it went, you know, and I'm telling them about CosmicReality.net and all the good things that it does. So, yeah, I didn't have a booth or anything, but I'm promoting the Shungite, you know, to all kinds of people. There were thousands of people there.
Spreading the love, spreading the word.
And here's the nice thing about it. I didn't have to give them a brochure, which I didn't have any anyway, or a business card. They were putting it on their iPads, putting the information on their iPads.
So you
even if she's not talking the talk, Doc Who's walking the walk.
Well, I had never thought about, you know, people putting stuff down on their iPads, information and stuff. So I'm not talking about Revolution Radio.
Hey, Harley.
Okay, that was all I wanted to say. You know, I'm spreading the word is what I'm saying.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's for everybody's benefit. It's for all of our benefit, and it really does the job.
Yeah.
So I'm really pleased for you. And I also want to thank Kenneth Rodriguez in Portugal, if he's listening to this show. I don't know if he was listening to this show or somehow, but I'd like to thank him for our little exchange. That was lovely. So, where were we? Yes, Walt, what we were just about to talk about. Now, the last time I spoke to you on air at all, you were just about making the monolith. You'd just taken the two, and you hadn't had much experience. So, what I'd like you to tell, and myself and everybody else, indeed, that what have you found that it does? What can it do? And how much are you selling them for? Are they cheap? Do they cost $1 million? And are they made of red mercury? And, you know, how much vril is in them?
Ooh, red mercury, my favorite. Are you finally going to confess on air that you're the pilot of the Glocken? That's why you have a German girlfriend.
Oh, listen, man. I'm not kidding. That is a very, very pertinent point, because there is this kind of thing going on. Yeah, there is a 1930s element to this whole thing, and a real society element. But it's going to unfold. And actually, I'd recommend that people checked out my book. The it's not my book. I didn't write it, but I read it, and I read it out for you. You can listen to it while you're driving in your car, doing the washing up, doing mundane household things, gentlemen.
Traveling through time.
Mind you, time travel is pretty quick these days, so you don't have time to listen to long stories. So anyway, monoliths, Walter. Professor Walter of the Silvers, tell us what happens when you make a monolith out of resin and shungite.
As you told everyone, you know, the idea came. Nancy told me about it. She said about JP having this idea of replicating the monolith that was featured in the film 2001, and I said, why? Well, what's about it? And JP is the one who He said, she said, JP's explained to me that Kubrick was involved in. And hold on a second.
Kubrick was involved in.
Sorry.
Yes, okay. So I'm just holding the air. So Kubrick was involved
Someone's leaving a message in the answering machine, and it sounds very loud.
Right.
So she was mentioning how Kubrick was involved in sacred geometry and special geometric proportions, and I said, "Oh, okay. You know, I'm game as long as you tell me what it is." And that's why I got in touch with you, and you said, "Yeah, the geometry is 1 square by 2 square by 3 square." So I decided to do that. I didn't use metric. I used English. And I just halved the values. So it looks like in the picture where you're holding it, it looks almost like the size of a cell phone. But it has those proportions that you quoted, you know, 1 square by 2 square by 3 square. And what ended up happening is that I made 2 prototypes to send to Nancy. I don't know. I guess the photos are still there on my Facebook page. The difference between the 2 prototypes is that one had a gel-promoting agent, meaning that the particles of the shungite powder never settled, so the monolith is completely opaque to the light. The other monolith, I used no such gel-promoter, so the powder was able to settle in the resin in the mold, so it's translucent. And when Nancy got them, she's the one who's able to feel out the energies of the different devices, and she's the one who put me onto the fact that the different organite-based, different energy devices seem to click together and they work together. So I had, besides those 2 monoliths, I had sent her a tetrahedron made with the shungite powder. And I sent her another device that I had from years ago that's featured in my website. It's called the Hyperdimensional Coil Pyramid, which is a special weave that's encased in a resin tetrahedron. And she found that the 2 monoliths and these 2 tetrahedrons, actually, energy-wise, they all click together. She says that she could actually hear the clicking as they came together. And it's a very psycho-reactive device that it responds to her consciousness. If she asks it to do something, it does it. Like when she had a Skype connection issue, she told this assemblage of components, you know, fix my connection, and boom, it happened. So I thought, oh, that's interesting to know that these things click together. So I decided to go back to the monolith and kind of investigate what's going on there energy-wise, since it's not behaving like a standard organite device, in the sense that for those people out there that have played with it, one of the components in organite is metals, because anybody who's read up on Wilhelm Reich knows that the attribute of metal is that it attracts and projects out argon, whereas organic materials attract and store argon. So the organite is a necessary component to keep that energy pulsing. Well, in the case of the shungite device, which is the monolith, there's no metallic component to speak of. But yet, shungite in and of itself does have electrical properties. Electricity will go through it. DC electricity, AC electricity will go through shungite. I have mentioned this to you before. I did a test where using an AC circuit and a dimmer, and I had an ammeter and voltmeter coupled in the circuit so that I could adjust the voltage up and down and see the differences in current, the relationship between the current and the voltage. And the difference that I saw is that when current is flowing through the shungite, there's actually more measurable current in the system, as opposed to less, because you think, you know, you're flowing through a non-metal, there should be more resistance. No, it was quite the opposite. There was actually more current. And then the shungite spirit spiral that you have, that I sent you, you know that when it's on, it gets cold, because it's actually lowering the resistance in the metal. So the shungite has all these capabilities, and once you give it this geometric body, this specific body that is the monolith, it does have directionality to how it projects the Oregon field. I had sent Nancy sorry, JP. I sent Nancy something. She said, I'm preparing a box for JP. So whatever you're going to send it to me. So I'll get it together and send it to him. I said, okay, you know, no problem. So I had every intention of sending it a harmonizer that has a shungite bass. But what ended up happening is that when she got that and the monolith together, they actually clicked together. The harmonizer actually went onto the surface of the monolith, but she couldn't just put it on any surface of the monolith. She had to put it on what ended up being the top surface, because if she tried putting it on the bottom of the monolith, she would get such a negative reaction, such a negative feeling. She says it was horrible. It was just disgusting. So when she said that, I realized that now the monolith is manifesting a kind of polarity to it, and it's always consistent. I stopped using the gel promoting agent, so I would, when I would make the mix of the resin and the powder, I would douse, and I would ask, you know, how much powder to use for this preparation. And that's what happened with the monolith I made for you. I said, for JP, how much powder should be in the monolith, because in the one that I made for you specifically, 90% of the powder is standard shungite powder, but yet there is one small dose of the silver saturated powder in the center of the, I just let it drop there in the center of the monolith when it was, the resin is sitting in the mold. And it was interesting that where it landed, it actually created a specific area that actually texture wise looks different from the rest. And if you have heard us, me and Nancy talking on the radio, how different shungite behaves when it's silver saturated. You know, the regular shungite is very good at pulling in noxious energies and just pumping them back into the quantum field, and they just, you know, they get transmuted into just pure potential. But when the shungite is silver saturated, it opens the door in the other direction, to bring in energies from the quantum field, potential energies that are just seeking out manifestation. So whatever it is that you're seeking to bring in, okay, it helps bring in that energy for easier manifestation. So when the two components are side by side, they seem to open up the door on the shungite potential. So it works more energy faster, because you have one part that's pulling energy in and another part that's, you know, sucking it out. And that's the one that that's the way that I made the one for you. But when she mentioned this business of the two components clicking together in only a specific way, I started dowsing the other monoliths that I had. Whichever face that is, it's always negative. It has a negative spin in the sense that it's always pulling in organ like a vacuum cleaner.
So hang on. Well, this is when you're molding it. This is the one that comes to the surface as it's being molded, which is face down.
Whichever face is at the bottom of the mold, that's going to be negative.
That will be the negative, right? I see. So it's
where the particles are settled.
Right. So it would actually be the smooth part, wouldn't it?
Correct.
So the smooth part becomes the negative. That's interesting.
Yep.
Have you tried it in different fields of any kind? Do you try sort of placing shungite near it when you're curing another batch? Does that make any difference?
That I haven't seen, but what I the other test that I did is, like I said before, using the pendulum and the L rods, I found that the projection of energy coming from it, it's very directional. Nothing comes out of the corners or the vertices. Nothing. Stuff is going in and stuff is coming.
You're getting some feedback, Jeep.
And you have six faces. Is it lunchtime already?
I'm slavering. What happened?
I thought that was the lunch bell or something.
It must mean food. Aren't you? Isn't your mouth watering? You know that bell rings. Now I get it. All right. thanks very much, Rob. Rob from New Mexico.
Sit down, kid.
let's just say good day to Mr. Brad Kortek. Hey, how are you?
Hey, JP, can you hear me?
Yeah. Come a little closer. Come on.
How's that? A little bit better?
Yeah, move closer. I know that you can smell me. I know, but it's okay. I don't smell too bad.
You can get a little closer.
So, good afternoon. What is it? Good morning to you?
It's about 25 past 11.
What kind of 11?
11 a.m., sorry.
11 in the morning, right. Okay, well, there we go. Good morning. And is it a bright, sunny Australian day like every other Australian day?
It's really nice, yeah. Started out a little bit cloudy, but it's nice and blue and sunny and beautiful.
Well, that's lovely. That's so lovely. That's so lovely. We've only had a storm for the last 3 days. Or was it six? I don't know. I can't really tell. It's all one sort of numb blur. It's just you go out into the wind and it's kind of sandblasted into your skin. And I just cut my beard because it's April. Anyway.
You're living on planet Arrakis?
Yeah, that's about it. That is about it, yeah. Except there's
Arrakis.
There's lots of water. Dune, for those who didn't catch that.
lots of worms.
Yeah. Dune, but with rain.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me that. I remember you telling me that in the old Scottish Celtic language, there's no word for crunchy.
So, Nung Maste, Kortek.
Is anyone molding it into like a torus shape? Consider if you've got the energy going both ways, coming out one end and the other kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I find it really interesting.
Anyone making donuts?
Mm.
Oh, there you go, Kortek. You've got yourself a shape, a form. You can make toroidal. You'll just need to, you know, make an impression with a bagel and cast it.
I mean, I'm interested in anything that can kind of, you know, combat all the kind of fields around, especially stuff from routers and everything everywhere, you know, it's too much sometimes.
Well, it might be interesting to make something that is toroidal, and then you can slip it over something like a tetrahedron or anything with a point, a column, all that sort of stuff. And it'd be like his dog chew rings or something. But I'll be this, you know, we have different size ones. What do you think, Walt? Have you got any toroidal molds?
Your Shanghai spirit spiral produces a toroidal field.
Even when it's square, even when you're making like the square one, the rectangle ones.
You're referring to what?
The ones you made that are like the off 2001?
Oh, the obelisks?
Yeah.
No, that's what we were talking about too. That's what I was describing to JP, that the way these project energy, it's very directional. Three faces are projecting out energy, and three faces are pulling in energy. So they're very directional in their operation, and they actually put out more energy than they pull in. So it is working like a little quantum door, bringing in more potential. And when it comes into contact with other energy devices, they actually enhance the work of other energy devices, which I didn't find. I didn't come across this. It was the work of Nancy Hopkins, who started playing with them and found that they literally click together. So she was playing with a harmonizer that I sent, and the harmonizer bass actually clicked onto the monolith, because the other experiment that I did in my workshop is having the two monoliths in my hands. I was putting the two positive faces face to face, and I was approaching them slowly. And as my hands approach, I could feel resistance, very much like when you have two magnets and you're trying to bring together the two north poles or the two south poles. It was noticeable. And here you're thinking, you know, there's no metal. It's just the resin and the powder. And yet they seem to exhibit these magnetic-like qualities. So I took my chart and my pendulum and started asking questions, because I have found in the past that both magnetic lines and organ flow have the same qualities, and they flow in the same direction, especially when you're dealing with metals. So I started asking, you know, are these forces compatible with each other? Yes. Do they cancel each other out? No. And I kept asking more questions. No, no, no. So then I asked another question. Is organ the same as magnetic energy, but at a higher dimension? And that's when I finally got a yes.
Yeah, wow.
So that magnetic lines or magnetism is actually like a low-level, low-dimensional level organ energy. Organ is far more, it's rightly so, it's in the etheric domain. Whereas magnetism is something that you find in the material domain. It is energy still, but it's still in the material domain. Organ, you find it in the etheric domain, which dimensionally speaking is at a higher octave. And that's why they behave so similar, and you can use magnets for healing on the human body. So I was telling Nancy that the next experiment I want to do is that I have seen in wiring that the shungite brings down, it accelerates the organ flow in wiring, therefore it reduces the electrical resistance, and that's why wires get cold. I want to do the same experiment with magnets to see if it accelerates the speed of the magnetic line flow. I'll see what kind of reaction I get from that.
Hey, Walt, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is nanolattice, and how does nanolattice affect shungite, raw or polished? And does nanolattice have a separate frequency, or does it combine, and does it project energy?
Where does this term come from, nanolattice?
It's connected to the shungite. What I see. That's why I want to ask you, what is the nanolattice and what does that do? And it's, as you say, it projects energy. I have my shungite on my router, and I'm positive it has created a shield, an EMF bond that I feel, you know, gratified to have. I'm really glad. I'm wearing it on my neck. I also have it in other places. And it's something great. The other people here have been drinking it, and we really like what you do with the copper. Just kind of curious, it's possible that shungite could also help with radiation, and I feel like there's energy that we can help clean. It has a really special connection, and I'm wondering if you found anything else in that direction.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if I don't have radioactive materials to play with, and I don't know if I wanted to go there, but I don't see why it couldn't help neutralize radiation, because if you ever had a chance to read the work of Walter Campbell, when what he said about radiation, he said that it was literally death energy. It is the energy of, you know, of death, of winding down, of the dissolution of things. So seeing how shungite changes the quality of energy fields, neutralizes noxious substances and noxious energy signatures, and makes energy fields into biocompatible fields, I don't see how it could not neutralize radioactive fields, at least reduce the level of harm by a total, you know, several layers of magnitude. Now, in answer to your first question about the lattice, you reminded me of what I saw in a shamanic journey when I was asking about the shungite, where when they were showing me the inner structure on how the fullerene's molecules are laid out. They're laid out like in layers. And what I saw was like curved layers, like as if you were looking at the layers of an onion. It was not planar. It was curved layers, and it made sense when I saw it, because when I have broken pieces of shungite you can never get them to break flat. There's always curvature to the surfaces of where it breaks. So that made sense to me. And also the other thing that I got to see in that journey is, remember, have you seen that video by Nassim Haramein where he explains, he makes a very, very wonderful explanation of the, remember the unified field theory? And he explains it with his geometric equations. He showed in the video how 1 cubic centimeter of empty space contains far more energy than the energy of the observable, mind you, observable universe. And he used his equations, and he shows in the video, you know, how it all comes together, and he uses the numbers, and he shows, so it just goes to show how much energy is in a cubic centimeter of empty space. So when I was asking questions about the Shanghai in a shamanic journey, they said that it was a way of accessing infinite space, not just a cubic centimeter of it, but infinite amounts of space. And I thought, oh, wait, so this must be some way of, I don't know, getting free energy or zero point energy. I don't know. I don't have the, I guess, the knowledge or the skills how to apply this, but I got a glimpse of it, like I said, on my AC circuit test. How else can I explain that when you have the AC flowing through Shanghai, there's actually more current, not less. So I guess it does open the door to bring in more energy.
So I'll have a kind of cosmic iPhone that will display anything on it as in a holographic display.
Quantum phones, yay!
Did you just say cosmicreality.net? Was that I heard? Cosmicreality.net?
You're good. If only we could pay you. You'd be good. We'd get you to call in other radio stations and plug everybody. You're very good. Yes, it's cosmicreality.net. And actually, Walt has his own website, which is called something Paradigm something.
Something, something, something.
Something, something, dark side, something, something.
NewParadigmTools.com.
There you go. See, Paradigm was in it. New Paradigm Tools. Is that all in one word?
New Paradigm Tools, all in one word.
There. See, you can get that. If you get in quick enough, you put three unusual words together, like New Paradigm Tools or Crown-based Transmissions, you can get a .com for $12. Yeah. It's good. It works like that. Anyway. What is it going on about? Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
Maybe that's the power source for a TARDIS. A couple of monoliths.
Maybe. It's...
Holding all the energy you want.
It's called the Eye of the TARDIS, and it's connected with the quantum universe because it's in all places all at the same time. And all of that, and bigger on the inside. Do you know why it's bigger on the inside? Because it's from the fifth dimension. It was built in the fifth dimension. And in the fifth dimension is much more vastly expanded in much longer times. So
I like the way Nancy says, it's a gift from Gaia. She's right. It is a gift from Gaia. Shungite.
Shungite, the gift from Gaia. There we go. So,
you can't use it for evil purposes.
Hmm?
You cannot use it for evil purposes.
You can't use it for evil. I can't remember who it was talking about this, but someone was talking about the crystals. You know, what if all one day all the crystals, which we know to be conscious, just decide all en masse not to work for evil? So that would mean all of the Dick Cheney-run organizations, you know, their computers would suddenly just freeze up, not work anymore, because the crystal inside them would revolt.
Isn't that happening already? Didn't Ben Fulford speak in one of his reports about the supercomputers going into sentience?
Well, this is interesting because Andrew Botts has told me about this a few years ago. And I remember he was saying it started it's one of these like promise AI, it was an AI software that kind of grew itself out of the bad stuff in some way. It kind of like, oh, screw this. I'm going the other way. I'm going towards that. I don't need to make these people
Stuart
money.
Stuart Swedlode.
Is it Stuart? I mean, this information is trickling through. And it's come through various portals, let's say. So we can say that that we're getting a few hits on this. That there are artificial intelligences that are independently becoming sentient and not being bad, not being malign like the ones in The Matrix.
Remember the 1970s film, The Colossus Project?
The Colossus Project? No, I do not.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I remember I had a chance to watch it twice. It was during supposedly, sci-fi film, supposedly during the time of the Cold War, this doctor is commissioned, they build this gigantic supercomputer that occupies like the entirety of a mountain, the Colossus Project, and when they start doing experiments and activating it a little bit at a time because it was so incredibly powerful, they see it trying to open communication lines to the USSR, and they were kind of weirded out by this because why is the computer trying to connect to the Russians? It's designed to do like military simulations and all of these things that will give us an edge over the enemy. And what ended up happening is that while the Americans were developing the Colossus Project, the Russians were doing the same thing. And what ended up happening is the two supercomputers merged together into one super intelligence. And they, between the two of them, they observed that humanity couldn't be trusted to take care of themselves because they were too warlike and, constantly thinking of, annihilating each other. So they decided to take over the government of the world, and they were the ones who were going to manage things for humanity, production of food and resources, so that there would be no need for, killing each other all the time.
So this is essentially like a communist, like the communist ideal. Well, the socialist ideal, isn't it? The computer looks after everything, and mm-hmm. you're given enough to live on, and everything's good, and you're happy.
And you don't have to worry about somebody dropping a bomb on your head.
Yeah. Yeah, because they happen not to believe in that, or they happen to think that their way is better than your way, and therefore you need to have a bomb dropped on you. And this brings us back to the original question of the bloody Sumi. All right, so we're now getting an idea, all right? See, this whole Nazi Bell thing is all to do with the Aldebaranians and their desire to return here. And they... Indeed. They have two planets that revolve around Aldebaran, and one of them has a kind of pure race, and the other has the less advanced races, like the more regressive people, who all seem to be happy in their non-regression, and probably think the other lot are stuck up and a right pain in the ass. And that's where the problem is the whole duality. But this is a big one, and these are the people who then went on to colonize Sumeria because they were called the Sumi, and so they arrived here and they called this place, let's call it Sumeria, and then that became Babylon, that became Rome, and it's then become Nazi, and then it become America, and it's the same energy that's moving through. And it's kind of ready to be scooped up, I think. This seems to be the message from Ben Fulford and everybody, and about bloody time. But it's still going to take a while. It's going to take a couple of years to get rid of all the bad people in the world. And it's up to us to notice them. I think that's what our job is now, is to just, notice them. Point out who they are. You don't have to make a big fuss about it. Just let everybody know.
Maybe we can quote Nighthawk, JP.
What's that? How do we quote Night House? What's that? Say it, Rob, say it. Or did he get cut off? Or did I get cut off? Hello?
No, I can hear you.
I'm here.
All right, you were about to say something.
Oh, no, I was just going to compliment Nighthawk on some words that he mentioned, and he just said, yeah, cleaning house, you know, this is it. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, cleaning house.
Yeah, we'll come and clean your house for $10 an hour. We're very good, we're very thorough, and we exist in all of your portals and dimensions, and towns and cities. And somebody somewhere will be able to come in and help you clean your house. Because actually, if you want to be healthy, you can look at your house, and where there is clutter...
Are you still there?
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm with you, JP. I think we're losing, fading in and out here. I wanted to talk to Walt about adding essential oils to the shungite.
Walt, have you ever added essential oils to your shungites?
No. How would you do that? You know, you would put nuggets in a bottle of oil? Is that how you would do this?
Well, there's different oils that can help stimulate our as we'll call it, our crown base. But our crown chakras can be stimulated through certain oils. I know lavender is very essential for a higher frequency. Clary sage and geranium can help balance the hormones. So you can combine one of these natural oils that can help to get into a state of mind and concentration with your shungite. Also, frankincense, rosemary, and peppermint are essential oils that work good for your mind. So you can help to relax, meditate, energize, and also balance hormones with the positive frequency of shungite. I'm finding it to be fascinating, and only a study that could possibly turn into a college.
Sounds like you froze.
Yeah, I think there's a few delays on the call. What's his name keeps dropping off. And that causes the delay. So hopefully you got the rest of that. Walt, did you catch any of Rob's question?
No. What I just wanted to get clear, how is he combining the two? Is he putting nuggets in the bottle of oil? Is he mixing powder in the oil? Yeah, that was what I was curious about, how he's going about combining the two.
Yeah, just raw application on the raw shungite, but more so the rolled shungite that I have and we have here at our place in New Mexico. We have a couple different types of shungite, but the rolled shungite that we have in sacred geometry, we have the full sacred geometry set. I'm wearing it, and I give dedication to Walt Silva. It's pretty special. I want to thank you, Walt, for all your creativity you're bringing to the world with this, and you're very helpful. But yeah, I'm adding some oils to the shungite, and I believe it's actually elevating the frequency even higher.
Oh, it makes sense. And also, what if there's anything even remotely noxious in the oil, the shungite would neutralize it. Because have you done the liquor test, putting nuggets of shungite in wine or any other kind of liquor?
No, I've not, but I've had it in water, but not in a liquor at all. No, I don't drink.
Well, what happens is that, for example, in the case of wine, the wine gets sweeter, but you can't get drunk. You can drink the whole bottle, you won't even get the beginnings of a buzz. It literally neutralizes the noxious effect of the alcohol. That's how powerful it is as a decontaminant. So
I definitely would have to say it's molecularly definitely a cleanser and definitely a vibrating, healing vibration that I feel from it. And I think JP would agree that shungite is... JP and I would probably both agree that shungite vibrates very close to 432 hertz.
Mm. Well, what I would do is on the different bottles of essential oils, I would put a Bucky Band-Aid on it. So then the entire oil is being treated, because that's one of the things that we found with the experiments, and that's why the trapping the shungite in the resin matrix is so effective, is that less is more. A little bit of powder actually has a greater effect and a bigger feel than a 5-pound brick. The space between the particles actually makes a difference, because that's one of the first things that Nancy found out in her experiments, is that whenever there would be two or more pieces of the shungite in proximity, their fields would resonate with each other and enhance each other. So now when you're looking at powder, here you're looking at, you know, millions and billions of particles in close proximity to each other. So now you have all these little tiny fields enhancing and expanding each other. So that's why they're so powerful. And they can do what they do on the phone or on routers, on whatnot, even more powerful. Case in point, for example, here Nancy had a big shungite brick inside of her fridge, and she thought that would be enough to treat the entire energy field of the fridge. And when she goes and attaches the first fridge magnet prototype that we put together, the entire fridge changed and the whole energy changed. And here she thought that it was already being treated because she had this huge brick inside. So that's what we're finding with the shungite. Less is actually more.
Well, everybody needs a Bucky Band-Aid then. That makes sense.
So, I mean, I got like three on my laptop. I have two regular powder on the router, and one with the silver saturated powder, because we're doing even more testing now. I've sent a batch to Nancy of Bucky Band-Aids that have the two powders in them, regular and silver saturated, because the frequency, we are finding that frequency is playing a role. If you're dealing with AC electric fields, and you know, well, I know that in other countries is a different frequency. Here in the U.S. is 60 hertz. But if you're dealing with something that's producing a standard AC electrical field, like an electrical motor, the compressor in a fridge, electrical stoves, things that just have that basic AC electrical field, the shungite powder seems to be treating it perfectly. No questions, no doubt about there. But when you're dealing with electronic fields, and you know everything that's electronic and digital, it's very dirty, because digital signaling is a square wave, which is chock full of harmonics, and the frequencies are very high. You're dealing at megahertz, gigahertz range. The silver saturated powder is more effective at grabbing and transforming those fields. So we're finding that given the type of powder, they seem to be more pointed in a different direction as to what types of energy they're better at treating. So for electronic stuff, the silver saturated powder is even stronger than the regular powder.
I was just going to ask that, actually, what would be best for dampening the router
situation. Yep. And the other thing that Nancy found with the different people that she's given the Bucky Band-Aids to is that people that have smartphones and iPhones have reported to her that after using it for 5 to 10 minutes, they notice the body of the phone gets hot, noticeably hot. And ever since they have the Bucky Band-Aid on it, that doesn't happen. That noticeable heat of the phone doesn't seem to manifest. So I don't know if it's changing. By changing the spin of the field, it's attenuating or negating that warm-up thing, but she's noticing it, and it's happening to the people that are using it. It's not just one or two people. So at least, and I noticed it on my router. My router is mounted to the wall, and I would, you know, it has its normal temperature for an electronic device, but now you touch it and it's the same temperature as the wall. It doesn't feel hot at all.
So, in the dying minutes, I just want to express this this little thought, which has been coming in and going out. Oh, God. And coming in and going out like this fellow who keeps on coming in and joining the call. It was about the my train of thought has now been derailed because I can. But we've got a few, only a couple of seconds left. Oh, there he goes again. Walt, actually, can everybody who has got a little store just sound off? Walt first, then Rob, then Cortec. Give us your website. My website is www.everbeyondradio.com and also Crown Based Transmissions, but you can get there from there and you can get to Walt's site. So Walt, sound off, mate.
The newparadigmtools.com.
Thank you very much, Walt. Rob.
Yes, I recommend everyone out there in the audience to go to Crown Based Transmissions and newparadigmtools.com.
Okay, thank you very much. Cortec, have you got a little shop yet?
I don't have a site or anything, but thanks a lot for the information. It's really cool. Thanks, Walt.
Enjoy.
You're welcome.
And yeah, everybody else, people who are making Organite, thank you so much for when you made some, you send it to me. It's brilliant. So thank you so much. And I'm surrounded by these beautiful pieces, and I'm really. Really loving it all. I'm surrounded. I am literally surrounded by little sparkly things that I bought myself, but also that people have sent me. So
no more butterflies in your room?
Not today. They're all out. They're all out there fluttering. I've seen them in twosomes and threesomes and doing all sorts of spring-oriented things. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful
song for you, just so you know.
Have a wonderful spring, everybody. See you next week. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Fun.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
There's a bird.